Well, good morning, everyone. Welcome to the Healer's House, and pray that you enjoyed and participated and were blessed by the praise and worship this morning. We gather together corporately to worship God. Of course, we worship God individually, but when we gather together, it is a praise to our God when we lift our voices, lift our hearts, lift our hands unto Him. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Well, Naomi and Danielle, welcome to the Healer's House. Just pray that you enjoy the services today, that you're blessed by the services, by the fellowship, and by the Word today. I selected this book for you both today. Do you have your copy?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I selected this book. Most of us have a copy, right?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Most of us have a copy. We spent about 3 months studying the principles that are summarized. They're just summarized in this. I'll get you a copy. We spent about 3 months, didn't we?
Yes, we did.
Studying in detail the principles that are only summarized here. Okay, but summary is a good summary, isn't it?
Yes,
it's a good summary.
It is.
Because it talks about the fact that this is about how to know the will of God in your life. And talks about the fact that God is always at work. I selected this book for you guys, okay?
Thank you.
And talks about how God is always at work in your life. And how to know and see what He's doing in your life.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Right? And I'm just looking at the table of contents. It says, number 2, God pursues a love relationship with you. God is in pursuit of you.
Yes, He is.
Pursues a love relationship
yes,
with
he
you.
Does.
Chapter number 3 said, God invites you to join Him. You remember this?
Yes.
And God invites you to come along with Him. God is at work. He has some things He plans to do. He's in pursuit of, you remember one time we talked about betterments?
Yes.
You
yes.
know, betterments?
Yes.
You know, he's in pursuit of bettering your life.
Yes.
You know, it's interesting that God is more interested in bettering our lives sometimes than we are.
Yes. Yes.
He's in pursuit, and He invites you to come along and join Him. God speaks. When we studied about this, one of the things that we learned is that God speaks. One of the things that I learned is that God is speaking all the time.
Yes.
God is speaking all the time. And you know, when I think about that, it's like with all of the wisdom and the knowledge that God has, He has a lot to say.
Yes, He
does. God has a lot to say. And so He speaks. An interesting thing that we learned when we studied this, we studied this out in detail. And one of the things we learned as you look through the scriptures, that when God spoke, the person who He was speaking to, those people in the Bible that were given to us, you know, to see, they knew that God had spoken. I hear people saying sometimes, I don't know if God's talking to me or not. You see that when God spoke, they knew He spoke.
Yes.
Not only did they know that He spoke, they know what He said.
Yeah.
Right?
Yes.
It is written down in the Bible for us that they knew that He spoke, they knew what He said, and they knew what they were supposed to do next.
Yes. Yes.
They knew. God speaks. If our ears are turned on and our eyes are open, we'll see, we'll hear, and we'll know what to do.
Yeah.
Your crisis of belief, this is a beautiful thing right here. Your crisis of belief, you know, because when God speaks, you know, it engenders, am I going to believe this or not?
Amen.
You know, God speaks, you know, often when God speaks, he says things that are like bigger than us. Mm-hmm. You know, but how in the world are that supposed to come to pass, you know? So it calls for a crisis of belief.
Yeah.
And then it calls for you to make adjustments. You know, I hear people all the time saying, I'm waiting on God. You know, like, I'm waiting on God to make some adjustments. You know, I'm waiting on God to, no, God's waiting on you. God's already done. We say that all the time. God's already done everything that needs to be done. The Bible says that he's already provided for us all things that pertain to life and godliness. So the adjustment part, you know, we talk about there are, you know, things that, you know, that are God's part and man's part. You know, that there are some things that's God's part to do, you know. He created the world. He created us. You know, he gave us, he breathed into us the breath of life. Man sinned, and he sent his son. There are some things that God's part to do. Not only did he send his son, he sent his Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. You know, you can't send, you can't do that. You ain't got no Holy Spirit to send. So that's God's part. You understand what I'm saying?
Amen.
That's God's part to do. To send his Holy Spirit, to send his son to live a holy life and to surrender his life, to be crucified, to be raised up on the cross, to bleed for our salvation, his blood for our salvation, and to give up the ghost, to be buried in a tomb and to be raised from the dead. God did that part.
Mm-hmm.
Our part is to accept him, to surrender our lives.
Amen. Yes.
To receive the light of the glory of God in the gospel of his son.
Mm-hmm.
To make adjustments. That's our part.
Mm-hmm.
And then we get to experience a relationship with God. That's yours.
Thank you. Mm-hmm.
Who else I got to get a copy for? You don't have one either? I must be getting slack. So I want everybody. I really want everybody to have it. I'll buy it for you. It's that important. Isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
You got one? Well, come, you can raise your hand. You don't want it?
Mm-hmm.
You want one?
That's
pretty. You got it.
I got the audio.
Yeah. You got good. You got the audio version. You got good. We spent about 3 months, didn't we?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, getting into the details of experiencing a relationship with God. I pray that blesses you.
Mm-hmm.
And so welcome. It was welcome. We pray that blesses your life. Amen. I'll have a lot of things going on in my head and heart, and I'm just going to take my time with it, and I will see how far we get. But I have a lot of things going on. Josiah talked about the fire in the bones, tied right in with my spirit. About the candle, igniting the candle.
Mm-hmm.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I had a meeting this week with a family, and everything about that meeting ratifies a statement that I often make: when the student is ready, the teacher will appear.
Yes, 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 yes.
When the student is ready,
mm-hmm.
the teacher will appear.
Mm-hmm.
As a pastor, and my wife and I working together in the ministry of the gospel of our God and Savior Jesus Christ, we have a goal and an objective to be an instrument in the hands of God to help people really experience the things of God, really experience the power of God in their lives.
Mm-hmm.
But sometimes it's fairly clear that people don't want it. Sometimes it's fairly clear that people have a desire for a part of the gospel. But they don't really want the whole thing. You know. So when somebody asks me a question like this question, it's exciting. It's exciting. When somebody asks a question like, you know, like, how do I really live a godly life? Mm-hmm. How do I really allow the power of God to work in me, to cleanse me from unrighteousness? People don't often ask questions like that. People generally want to know how I can get more stuff. You know, they want to know how I can get more stuff. How can I? You know, you got a lot of preachers today doing motivational speeches. And, you know, how you can have a better life, and you know, how you can be more financially prosperous. So some people getting more money is just going to help them do more of the bad stuff they're doing. Not often people ask the question, how can I rid myself? People are not often honest enough. People are often putting on that they got it all together. You understand what I'm saying?
Yes.
People are putting it on as if they got it all together. So they never ask a question like, how do I rid myself of all ungodliness? You understand what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
People don't ask that type of question because they won't make you think they got it all together. You know what I'm saying? So, I got it. I know, Pastor Larry. You don't need to tell me nothing. I got it. People don't ask. So I'm excited when people ask. I'm excited.
Amen.
I'm excited. When the student is ready, the teacher, they appear. A lot of stuff. When we were reading our scripture this morning, this is just another rabbit trail, but we were reading our scripture this morning. We were reading from Ephesians, weren't we? We were reading from Ephesians, and I was standing there, and the children were sitting there in a row, and they opened up their Bibles to Ephesians 5, and I noticed, I'm looking down the row, and I noticed that all the children had Ephesians 4:29 highlighted in their Bible.
Yes, they did.
I said, I gotta go see what that says. All the children's got it. They got it. I want it too. You know? I was real interested to see, what does Ephesians 4:29 say? That they, all of the children, every single one of them that was here at the time, had the Ephesians 4:29. You know what it says? Mm-hmm. Ephesians 4:29. Mm-hmm. Ephesians 4:29 says, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. What a wonderful thing.
That is, yes.
What a wonderful thing. Is that something they learned in Daniel?
Yes. Mm-hmm. We used that scripture when we were doing our one of the lessons on the fruit of the Spirit.
Yeah. Good. We had no corrupt communication. What would happen if the adults... Mm-hmm. What would happen if we let no corrupt communication proceed out of our mouth, but only that which was good for edifying, building up others? Things come to your mind and you have to say, I'm not going to say that. That ain't going to build nobody up.
Amen.
That's not going to edify. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to say that. I'm so wonderfully glad the children are learning it. Mm-hmm. Do the parents pay attention to what the children's learning downstairs? Do they? Mm-hmm. We do?
I do.
You do?
Okay.
Parents, you pay attention? Yeah, you do too. Pay attention to what the children are learning. Just because actually anything the children are learning is like, you know, it's like you're really the supervisor of it as a parent. You understand what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. We, you know, as a church, our role and goal is to assist you. You know what I'm saying? That's we're your assistant. So there shouldn't be anything they're learning that you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
That you don't know about, because directly, it is expected that if we're teaching it to the children, that you ought to be a model of it too. Right?
Yeah.
Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth.
That's right.
I was excited about that. That wasn't even the scripture. It was the couple of verses before the scripture. But it was so meaningful to me that the children... Grieve, and verse 30 could go to grieve not the Holy Spirit, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, and be ye kind one to another, tender hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake has forgiven you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I just happened to notice that the children highlighted in bold yellow in their Bibles. I'm excited. Well, on this morning, after 9, I received a message from a prophet. And the title, it came through the email system, and the title of this message is Gifts Without Repentance. Gifts Without Repentance. And this prophet sent me this message directly with the note saying, even as I was receiving this, I was hearing in my spirit to send it to you. So I receive it. Not only did I receive it in the email system, but I received this message because it ties right in with what God is saying to me. So I'm not going to read the whole thing to you, but I will read excerpts. She says, gifts without repentance is ability versus the true anointed gifts of God carrying the fruit of the Spirit.
Mm.
See? Instead of doing wonderful works in the works of the flesh, with their own ability, many are feeding the hungry, visiting the sick, going to prisons, giving their body to be burned, doing many wonderful works. But if they do not have the love and the fruit of the Spirit, they are tinkling cymbals and sounding brass in God's ear. God breathed his breath into man, and man became a living soul. With that breath came in God's ability, but after the first act of disobedience, the sin nature received thereafter, along with the influence of demonic beings, mankind was influenced into doing works, building cities, but they were wicked works. She says, we see evidence, God says, of this now, because many leaders and people are wicked, but they have the ability to do great things for people, whether it be in church or outside of the church. Jesus said that he will say to many, depart from me because I don't know you. And a startling genuine statement. Many don't think so, but he has already told some people that are sitting in the pews of the church to depart. He said, the evidence is that they are clothed well on the outside of their temple, but within their temple, they are filled with sickness, with hostilities in their spirit, and are not empowered to even overcome their inner turmoil.
Jesus.
Nor are they truly interested in the Great Commission. What's the Great Commission? To disciple people, to get people saved, right?
Yeah.
To spread this great message of this great salvation that we've received. Not even interested.
Jesus.
Just me. God, what you got for me? Very little taking of their cross. Because Jesus said, what did Jesus say? If you don't take up your cross and follow me, you cannot be
my disciple.
Cannot be my disciple. Doing works is going on in many so-called churches of God. Many are coming to be pumped up by energy from each other, but could care less for the other, or even for the leaders of the church. It's a disgrace in God's house in many places right now. Wow. 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 And God told her to send it to me. I receive it. I receive the word of exhortation. I receive the word of rebuke. I receive it. Amen. I receive it. Today our scripture reading was Ephesians 5, 1 to 20. That was our scripture reading. We read it in detail. And I want to read from verse 8. I want to read verse 8. For ye were sometimes darkness. You were sometimes darkness. But now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. Reprove them. Amen?
Amen.
Jesus, in speaking in John chapter 3, in speaking to Nicodemus, we talked about that a few weeks ago, about Nicodemus' secret meeting with Jesus at night. Jesus said to Nicodemus that if you are not born again, you cannot see kingdom of God. This is John chapter 3, verse 3. He says, if you're not born again, you can't see the kingdom of God. You can't see. Your vision. Vision is impaired. We're going to talk about that today. And he said that if you are not born again, in verse 5, he says you cannot
enter
into the kingdom of God. You can't see it. And if you can't see it, you can't enter into the things of God. Amen?
Amen?
Amen. The first recorded words spoken in the Bible are spoken in Genesis chapter 1 in verse 3. And those words are, let there be light. First recorded words. Let there be light. In Genesis chapter 1, it begins with, in the beginning, God created the heaven and earth. And the earth was without form and void and darkness, meaning disorder, meaning confusion and uncertainty. Darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Bible says the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters, and God said, let there be light.
Yes.
Light is completely is distinctly different and separate from darkness, isn't it?
Amen.
God said, let there be light. I really like how Paul rephrase this particular thought in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 6. Paul says, "For God commanded the light to shine out of the darkness." The only thing that was there was darkness, and God spoke, and light just bam in the midst of the darkness.
Amen.
God commanded the light.
Amen.
To shine out of the darkness, and has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. John, 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 6. Same way that God created light in the midst of darkness, He shines that same light in your heart and in my heart, so that we come to know the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. God is light, amen?
Yes. Yes.
1 John chapter 1 verse 5,
yes.
It says that this then is the message that we have heard of Him and declare unto you, that God is light.
Yes.
And in Him is no darkness at all. No darkness. Sometimes people impugn dark motives unto God. As if God was trying to do wrong by them. God is light, and light brings to mind all things of purity and honesty and openness and righteousness. God is light. There's no darkness. There's no evil motive in God.
Amen.
You know, sometimes you have, you know, relationships with people, and you know you have a good relationship with them, but then sometimes you wonder about, you know, what they're really doing, what they're really thinking, you know, why did they really do that, you know, and you impugn unto them evil motives. God has no evil motive.
No.
God has none. He has no evil motive. Light represents what's good and pure and true and faithful and reliable. And all of that is God. He's good. He's pure. He's true. He's honest.
Yeah.
He's faithful.
Yeah.
And He's reliable.
Yes.
Darkness represents what's sinful, what's evil, and what's corrupt.
Yes.
And the statement that God is light. God is light means that God is perfectly good.
Yes.
Perfectly true,
yes.
Perfectly pure,
yes.
Perfectly holy,
yes.
Perfectly faithful,
yes.
And perfectly reliable. God is good.
Amen.
God is good.
Yes.
Only the faithfulness of God, only the perfection of God, the goodness of God can guide us out of the darkness. The darkness of our evil past. Amen?
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
Light is also related to truth.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you're looking into the darkness, you can mistake one thing for another. You cannot be sure something that's evil can look good if your eyes are veiled, if you can't see very well.
Right.
Think of driving along the highway, a dark highway.
Yes. Mm.
But when you shine the light, you can clearly see.
Mm-hmm.
You can clearly distinguish the good from the bad.
Yes.
It's clear. Light is related to truth because light exposes the good,
yes.
And it exposes the evil. Amen?
Amen?
Just as darkness cannot exist in the presence of light, sin cannot exist in the presence of the holiness and purity and perfectness of God. Jesus also is light. I'm sure you know the scripture, John chapter 1, and I really want to read the entire chapter, John 1, but for the sake of time, verse 4 says, "In Him was life, and the life was the light of man, and the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not." Verse 9 says that He was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. That's an interesting thing. He is the true light that shines upon every man. Sometimes people act like they don't know truth.
How?
Act like they don't know righteousness from unrighteousness.
How?
And I beg to differ.
I do too.
And I beg to differ, because Romans 1 tells us, in Romans chapter 1, let's go there right quick. Romans 1 tells us very clearly that everyone born knows. They know God because He's revealed Himself unto us. Verse 19, Romans 1, 19. Mm-hmm. You there?
Yes.
That, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them. This is speaking of unrighteous men. You'll see verse 18, the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteous men who hold the truth in unrighteousness, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them. For the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. My Bible tells me, that's why I know. Mm-hmm. My Bible tells me that they're without excuse.
That's right.
You see that?
Amen.
They know. You know, it's like when you're doing wrong, you know, don't you?
Sure do.
You know, you
sure do.
You might still do it, but you know, right?
Sure
right.
Do.
Right?
Try.
Romans 1 says it without excuse. There's no excuse. There's no excuse. He lighteth every man that cometh into the world. Well, I want to talk about that. Lighteth every man that cometh into the world. And then in that was the Gospel of John. Now in 1 John chapter 1, this is another beautiful chapter, 1 John chapter 1. You might write these down and go read them later, because I can't read the whole thing right now. But in 1 John chapter 1 verse 5, it says, "This then is the message we have heard of Him and declare unto you, that God is light. And in Him is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with Him," God, "the light, and walk in darkness, we lie."
There we go.
We lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin. God is light, and Jesus is light, and we are to walk in the light. Amen?
Amen.
Walk in the light.
Amen.
Walk in the light. Now, Ephesians 5, the same Ephesians that we had earlier, the same chapter, Ephesians 5 and verse 8. "For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light." You are light. So God is light, Jesus is light, and when you accept Christ as your Savior, you are light.
Amen.
You are light. Ephesians 5 verse 8, you are light. "Walk then as children of light." The Bible tells us who we are, but it seems to be clear that we're not being who we are.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
It tells us who you are. When you accept Jesus Christ as your Savior, you are now light.
Yes.
You were sometime darkness, sometime in the past. You were darkness.
Yeah.
That's all you had was darkness. See?
Yeah.
But He says, now you are children of light. Walk
in the light.
As children of light.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Now, I was thinking about this, especially in the context of thinking, you know, why do we, children of God, who is the light, saved by Jesus, who is the light, clearly called light in this text,
mm-hmm,
clearly, why some of we walk in the darkness?
Mm-hmm.
Why? You understand?
Mm-hmm.
Why? I'm thinking about this. Well, I had three thoughts about it. The only way we could be walking in darkness is, number one, if there is no light. You know, like if there's no light, the lights is off, we ain't even no light up there. If there's no light, then we're going to be in darkness, right? That's number one. If there's no light, you're going to be in darkness. Number two, if there's no I, if you don't have an I.
Yes.
If you don't have an I, then you can't, you know, you could be blazed with light, but you're not going to be able to see it.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
And number three, is that what if there's light and I have an eye? But Jesus said, what if your eye is evil?
Mm-hmm.
What if your eye is corrupted?
Jesus.
What if your eye, you got an eye.
That's right. Woo.
But what if your eye is evil? So let's look at number one. It could be that no light is shining. Well, there were times that there was no light. There were times. Because, I mean, we just read Genesis 1, and in Genesis 1, everything was darkness until God said, let there be light. Right? So there were times that there was no light. And that's natural light. He's speaking of the sun, and he made the sun and the moon and the stars, and he said, let there be light, and he divided the day from night, and, you know, God said, let there be light. But there was darkness before. There's also spiritual darkness, right?
Yeah.
And we know, I'm looking at a scripture in Lamentations where it talks about the prophets not having any vision from the Lord. They didn't have any light. Mm-hmm. We know that there were times throughout the scriptures in which, because of the sin of the people, mm-hmm. you know, because of their sin, because of their rebellion and rejection of God, they lost the light that they had. That was Lamentations is written by Jeremiah, so that's Jeremiah's time. In Isaiah's time, Isaiah 6, that was Lamentations 2:9, if you're taking notes. Lamentations 2:9, her prophets also find no vision. In Isaiah 60 and verse 2,
yeah.
In Isaiah 60 and verse 2, it says, for behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people.
Mm-hmm.
He's speaking of a time that it will be dark.
Yes.
And then this is one of my new favorites, because there's a new favorite for me, is Matthew 4:16. I want to get it, because it's actually the whole thing is a favorite now. Okay. Matthew 4, and I want to go from You know me. I like to go back. Mm-hmm. Okay, Matthew 4. I want to get to 16, but in order for me to get to 16, I got to go back. Leaving Nazareth, he came and dwelt at Capernaum, which is upon the sea coast, in the borders of Zebulun and Naphtali, mm-hmm. that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, by the way of the sea, beyond Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles, the people which sat in darkness
saw
great light. Then to them which sat in the region and shadow of death, light is sprung up. This is a beautiful, beautiful passage. It tells you, number one, that people were sitting in darkness.
Yes.
You see? It tells you clearly that people were sitting in darkness. But it also tells you that God don't leave people sitting in darkness.
No.
God don't leave people sitting in darkness. He sends the light. He sends the light.
Amen.
He sends the light.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you,
Jesus.
He don't leave people sitting in the darkness.
Mm-hmm.
Light is sprung up. Hallelujah.
Yay,
light.
Glory to God.
Light is shining on you.
Hallelujah.
Light is shining right now. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Light.
Hallelujah.
The knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ.
Thank you, God.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you,
the only way you can be in darkness. Number one, if there's no light. But you ain't in that case. You are not in that case. If I get my grammar right, you ain't. You ain't in that case. A-I-N-K. You ain't. In that case. You got light.
Amen.
You got light. If you are in dark, number two, if you are in darkness yes. about spiritual yes. things, what did I say? Maybe something wrong with your eye, right? Yes. Well, no, I said you don't have an eye. That's right. Thank you. I said you don't have an eye. Because there has to be, in order for there to be perception of light, there has to be an organ of perception.
That's right.
Right? And that's the eye. Mm-hmm. There has to be an organ to receive light. It's like if a tree falls in the forest and nobody there will it make a sound, you know? I mean, you know? If light is shining and I ain't got no eyes, is the light really shining? Yeah, it's,
yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's shining. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah? Jesus said in Matthew 6:22, I'm sure you're familiar with it, Matthew 6:22, the light of the body is the eye. If therefore the eye be single, this is a beautiful passage. This is a beautiful passage. If therefore the eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light.
Oh, see.
Your whole body. Matthew 6:22. You got it? Matthew 6:22. The eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. It's interesting to me. Something could be blocking your light, though.
Wow.
Right? Your eyes could be blinded by pride or greed or lusts of some kind, right?
Amen.
Sin. Your eyes could be blinded, okay? I want to give you three stories. I want you to write them down. And these stories are such that you're going to have to spend some time looking into them because I can't read them because it would take too long. You can't read it, but you're going to have to write them down. Write down 1 Samuel 9, chapter 9. 1 Samuel chapter 9. You're going to read these, right?
Yes.
Okay. 1 Samuel chapter 9. 2 Chronicles chapter 16. And Amos chapter 7. I want to tell you something.
Amos
chapter 7. Mm-hmm. Okay? Now, let me tell you something. If you don't have an eye, if the light is shining and you don't have an eye, then it would behoove you to get somebody who can see.
Amen.
If you don't have an eye,
amen.
It would be wisdom,
amen,
to get somebody who can see, so you're not stumbling around and you know to get somebody who can see, right? And so, in the old time, in when you go to 1 Samuel 9, verse 9 says, "Before time, this relates to King Saul. When King Saul, this was before he was king. Before he was king, his father had some asses that were lost, some donkeys that were lost. And he sent his son Saul to go look for them. Looked all over the place, couldn't find them. And so they got lost themselves. And so they said, we need to find somebody to help us to get home fast because we don't know what way to go now. They was all over the place looking for these, you know. So he said, oh, there's a seer. There's a seer in these parts.
Wow.
Yep, and this particular scripture, 1 Samuel 9, says that when a man went to inquire of God, thus he spake, come, let us go to the seer. For he that is now called a prophet was before time called a seer.
Mm.
You see?
Right.
He was a seer because God showed him things and he saw them and then he could tell you. You see?
That's right.
He was a seer. He had an eye for the things of God.
Yeah.
And he could see. So he was called, now we call him a prophet. Okay, but he was called a seer, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, they went to Samuel, who was the seer. Now that's, you got to read that, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Number two is 2 Chronicles 16.
Mm-hmm.
And this is about King Asa. A-S-A. Asa.
Mm-hmm.
And King Asa was doing his Asa stuff, you know, whatever he was doing. And in verse 7, it says, at that time, Hanani, the seer, came to Asa, king of Judah, and said unto him, Because thou hast relied on the king of Syria, and not relied on the Lord thy God, therefore is the host of the king of Syria escaped out of thine hand. Now Judah, you know, was one of the, Israel and Judah, you know, and so Judah, you know, these were a part of the people of Israel, and this king was, you know, battling with them, and God had, you know, God gives direction about how to win victories, doesn't he?
Yes, he does. See?
And so, but Asa, instead of him relying on the Lord, Asa didn't rely on the Lord, and so this particular troublesome king escaped. Instead of him being captured, he escaped. Okay? And so, now, that was what verse did I tell you that was?
That was verse 7.
Verse 7, right? Now, you have to get forward to verse 10. Then Asa was wroth with the seer. It's like, I don't like what I'm seeing, so I get angry with my eyes.
Wow.
Wrought with the seer and put him in the prison. Now, this happens all the time.
Wow.
Your pastors tell you something and you don't like it, and so you put your pastors in prison. Mm. Prison of your mind, I mean, you know. Right. You know what I'm saying? You don't like what they're saying. Mm-hmm. They're only telling you the truth of the word of God.
Yeah.
Just like Hananiah was doing, telling Asa. But no, he put him in prison, for he was in a rage with him because of this thing.
Wow. Wow.
He put his eyes in prison.
Wow.
Think about it. Amos. Ready? Amos 7, I said, right?
Yes.
Now, this is a very, very, very interesting story here. This is a very interesting story. You really, really have to read this one. Read this one first, just in case you don't get to the other ones, okay? Read this one first. Read Amos first, okay? Now, in Amos 7, and I want you to really, really want you to read Amos 7, 10 to 17. There's some other hard to understand things in there, but this is the part I want you to see, 10 to 17. In verse 12, Amaziah was the priest. Mm-hmm. Amaziah said unto Amos, O thou seer, go, flee thee away into the land of Judah, and there eat bread, and prophesy there. Now you got to read the story. Why did he say that to him? Let's go there. I can't wait. I can't wait.
Tell him, please.
Amos, go to Amos.
This is good.
Go to Amos. You know where Amos is?
Yes.
If you don't know where it is,
Isaiah, Joel, Amos,
Obadiah. Ask Jennifer, because she teaches the children with stuff here. Amos, okay? Amos, this is a really, really interesting story here. And I said go to verse 7, right?
Yeah.
Now, I said chapter 7.
Chapter 7, verse 10.
Yeah.
Oh, this is good.
Yeah. Well, okay, but I'm going to start with 7 too, okay?
Okay, yeah.
Okay, I'm going to start with 7. Thus he showed me. Are you there yet? Is anybody not there? Pop, you got it? Everybody got it. Amos 7.
You got it?
7. We're going to go to 7. Got it, Pop? Jayla, you got it?
Yes.
Go with the oldest and the youngest and make sure you all have it, right? I love the Word of God. Don't you love the Word of God? I love the Word of God.
Love the Word.
Okay, what did I say? Amos 7. 7. Is anyone not have it yet? Good, we can go then.
Okay.
Thus he showed me. Now this is Amos saying what God showed him. Thus he showed me. And now God had already been talking to him, but I'm starting here. And behold, the Lord stood upon a wall and made a plumb line. You all know what a plumb line is? Anybody not know what a plumb line is?
The thing you do with the chalk.
You've been watching me. A plumb line is like a It's like, you know what a spinning top is?
Yeah.
You know what a spinning top is, right? Everybody knows. It's kind of like a heavy metal weight, like a spinning top, and it has a string attached to it. And so, because it's heavy, you know, if you hold a string up, and if you want to see if something is exactly straight, you hold a plumb line up to it, and it would let you, because, you know, if you hold a line up to something heavy, it's going to be straight, right? And so you hold it up, and you can see if the thing is straight, okay? And so it's called a plumb line, you know. So you want to know that your line is plumb. Mm-hmm. Plumb means, you know,
yes.
Straight. Okay. All right. Okay. Yeah. So he said, the Lord showed me. What did I lose it?
Seven.
Okay. Yeah. The Lord stood upon a wall made by a plumb line. That means the wall was made by a plumb line. That means the wall was straight.
Mm-hmm.
God's on a straight wall. You better know that. He's straight, okay? No darkness at all, okay? With a plumb line in his hand. And the Lord said unto me, Amos, what seest thou? And I said, a plumb line. Then said the Lord, behold, I will set a plumb line in the midst of my people Israel. That's a powerful statement.
Wow.
God ain't accepting any crookedness.
Oh.
No crookedness, okay? Setting a plumb line in the midst of my people Israel, I will not again pass by them anymore. And the high places of Isaac shall be desolate, and the sanctuaries of Israel shall be laid waste. He's talking about the places of worship, okay? And I will rise against the house of Jeroboam. Jeroboam was the king. I will rise against the house of Jeroboam with the sword. Now, you see verse 10, that's where I told you to start before, but here we are, okay? And Amaziah, the priest of Bethel, sent to Jeroboam, the king of Israel, saying, Amos has conspired against thee in the midst of the house of Israel. He said, he blamed it on Amos. Amos is the servant of God. Amos is just saying what God says.
That's right.
Right? Amos is just saying, Amos has conspired against thee.
Ooh.
You see? This is what people do this all the time.
Wow.
In the midst of the house of Israel, the land is not able to bear all his words. We don't want to hear it no more. The land is not able to bear his words. We don't like what he's saying.
Amen.
We want somebody to tell us what we want to hear.
Right.
Exactly.
The land is not able to bear all his words. And for thus Amos says, Jeroboam shall die by the sword, and Israel shall surely be led away captive out of their own land. They didn't like that word. That's what God said. But they didn't like it. Verse 12, you with me?
Yes.
And Amaziah said unto Amos, O thou seer, go. Get out of here. He said, go somewhere else to another land. And there eat bread. In other words, he's telling them, set up house somewhere else. We don't want you to be our prophet no more. We don't want you to see for us. We can't see, but we surely don't want you to see for us.
Wow.
You prophesy over there. They didn't like the word. But prophesy, verse 13, you with me?
Yes.
But prophesy not again anymore at Bethel, for it is the king's chapel and it's the king's court. What is he saying? You remember what Bethel, do you remember what the word Bethel means?
Oh.
It means the house of God. That's what it means. He said, we got our own church over here. We want to do what we want to do. And we don't want to hear what you got to say anymore. That's what he's saying. That we got our own church. We doing things our way. And we want to hear what we want to hear. We don't want to hear no word from the Lord. Not over here. We got our own religion. See? He said, for it is the king's chapel and it is the king's court. So we're going to do it the king's way.
Wow.
Then answered Amos and said unto Amaziah, I'm not a prophet. I ain't no big thing. I wasn't even the son of a prophet. But I was an herdsman and out a gatherer of sycamore fruit. And the Lord took me as I followed the flock. And the Lord said unto me, go prophesy unto my people Israel.
Wow.
I like Amos. He said, I ain't nobody big or great or nothing, but this is what the Lord says. This is what the Lord says. Now listen. Verse 16. Now, therefore, hear thou the word of the Lord. Thou sayest, prophesy not against Israel, huh? And you're saying, drop not thy word against the house of Isaac, huh? Therefore, thus saith the Lord.
Wow.
Your wife will be a harlot. Your sons and daughters will fall by the sword. And thy land shall be divided by line. And thou shalt die in a polluted land. And Israel, like I said before, shall surely go into captivity. You got light? You want to be a rejecter of light? You want to be a rejecter of light? If no good thing comes out of it. And so, like I said before, if you're in darkness, it's because there is no light. Right? Or you're in darkness because there's no eye to see the light, and there's no willingness to get somebody with an eye to, that sees the light that can tell you. There's no willingness. And what did I say, number three? Your eyes are damaged or evil or corrupt in some way, right? If you are in darkness about spiritual things, number three, it could be that the eye is evil or corrupt in some way that it cannot properly perceive light. Cannot properly perceive light. I was listening on, was it yesterday? I was driving and I was listening to, on the radio, a debate between two men. One was Bill Nye, the science guy. You see him on the news sometimes on different programs. He's being interviewed. He's a scientist and he is an evolutionist and he doesn't believe that there is a God. And he believes that everything evolved the way it evolved by natural selection, and you know, there's no proof that there's a God, and you know. And his opponent was last name was Ham, but I can't remember his first name. His last name, was it Bill Ham?
I can't remember. This was the meat. I just remember
Ham. Ham, and he is the developer of the Creation Museum. And I meant to go on his website, but I didn't get to go on his website. And they were talking about a lot of things, a lot of questions and things, and they were kind of given different perspectives, you know. And so one of the things that Bill Nye, the science guy, was saying was that everything on Earth everything in the earth is what made everything in the earth, and there's no outside forces, there's no God or nothing from the outside. Everything in the earth, just by the process of evolution and natural selection, you know, you get plants and trees, and there ain't no God saying, you know, let there be nothing, that everything just came about by evolution, by science. And Ham says, well, your theory is flawed, number one, because of the sun. The light from the sun is what provides energy for almost every natural process that takes place on the earth, and it's outside of the earth. The light from the sun blew away his theory just like that. That's it. He didn't give no big time scientific. It's like the light, you know, the sun blows away the theory. Shut him down, yes. I turned it off. So I was thinking that this scientist, and another thing that Ham was saying is that there are many, many, many scientists who are creationists. This particular stream of scientists have just, you know, X God out. And so, you know, it's like their eye is evil with regard to God.
Yeah.
And so they don't even, you know, they just overlook things, they don't consider things, they don't, you know, they don't take God into their consideration, and so they just have to develop some kind of theory that says there is no God, and well, I don't know how it all worked out, but, you know, without God. That's how they do. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, we've been there before, 2 Corinthians chapter 4 says, if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them.
Amen.
The devil is the god of this world, isn't he?
Mm-hmm.
He blinds the eyes of men. And so they stay in darkness, not because there's no light, and not because they don't have an eye, but because the devil blinds their eyes, blinds their perception, blinds their minds. And Jesus said, if thine eye be evil, or corrupt, or blinded, if thy eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. Matthew 6:23. If thine eye be evil, think about it. If your eye is evil, we use this illustration sometimes to say, if you had on a pair of, I remember when I was a teenager, when I got my first pair of glasses, my first pair of eyeglasses, I had them tinted blue. They had a blue tint to them, you know. I was in my little psychedelic days, you know. But they had a little blue tint to them. So everything had a little blue tinge to it, you know. You know what I'm saying? Skies were blue, even bluer, you know. And everything had a little blue tint, you know. Your white blouse would be blue to me, you know. Look at Trina in a nice blue blouse. You know? Because my eye's been corrupted. You see? My eye, according to Jesus, my eye was evil. Because I had put something on it to distort what I was seeing. You see? And Jesus said, if thy eye be evil, if your eye be corrupted, if your eye be evil, says your whole body shall be full of darkness. So, you know, when you think about that, sometimes, you know, sometimes based on what happened to us, based on, you know, how we feel, based on our emotions, maybe some brokenness of heart or whatever, we just put up these blinders on our eyes and say, hey, nobody loves me. And people be pouring love on you, you know? People be pouring out love on you, but you got blinders on, nobody loves me. I've seen it. I've seen it. Whatever your blinders are, They create evil. Blinders have to be removed, don't they? Blinders are in part a part of the demonic force that the enemy tries to put over us in order that we not see the light. That's what it's all about, that we not see the light. And so we're stuck. We're stuck. Unless we surrender to the deliverance of God in Jesus Christ. And we could be renewed. Amen?
Amen?
Amen. He says, if thine eye be evil, Matthew 6:23, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. And therefore, if therefore the light that is in thee be dark. This is interesting. I've always looked at this particular verse. If the light that... I would say to myself, I wouldn't say this to nobody else. I would say this to... That don't make no sense. If the light that's in you be darkness, how could the light? How could it? How could the light that's in you be darkness? You see? You see it now? You see it?
I see it.
You see it? If the light that's in you, if the thing that you're calling light is being filtered by blinders and darkness, Jesus says, how great is that darkness?
By non-truth.
You see it? You see it? Mm-hmm. You see it? I was looking up this word because I was thinking about all these things, you know, things to do with light and recent. I'm looking at my dictionary. And I was thinking about the word refraction. Because, see, refraction is a word that has to do with the traveling of the path of light. You know, refraction, doesn't it?
Yes.
I'm not good at all this science stuff, but, you know. It's like physics. There's like a physics, you know. Deflection from a straight path undergone by a ray of light or energy wave by passing obliquely from one medium, such as air, into another as glass, in which its velocity is different.
Bring it down.
Yeah. I think that's the broke down version. A deflection from a straight path undergone by a ray of light. So a ray of light travels through the air and it'll travel straight is what it's saying. But then if it hits a glass, its velocity through that glass is different. Velocity meaning speed, you know, speed and direction is different, such that it would deflect it into a different, you see? Does that work for you? Does that? Yeah. And so the glass could be a blinder. And so, you know, so what you're seeing on the inside of you, you're seeing something different from what the light is. Do you see that? Do you see that? Because it's passing through this and it's getting all messed up and broken up and going in different directions. And now you're seeing something different. And he said, tell me what you see. Well, you know, the way I see it, you know, that is what you see. Need to be delivered. Amen?
Amen.
Right?
Yeah.
Need to be delivered from the glass.
Amen.
Right?
Amen.
Yeah. Need to be delivered. John chapter 3, verse 19. John 3. John is in the New Testament. You know that, right? Mm-hmm. Boy, time goes so quickly when you're having fun. John 3, yes, 19. This is the same passage with Nicodemus, remember? You know the story. Nicodemus came to Jesus at night, you know, John 3, and you know, how can a man be born again? Am I gotta go back in my mother's womb? And all, you know. This is the same story. And Jesus just stood flat footed and started preaching to one man. Powerful. He just stood and preached. God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. He just ministered to Nicodemus and to the rest of us.
Yeah.
Glad Nicodemus answered that question, aren't you?
Amen.
Glad. Glad Jesus answered.
Me too.
So glad. Okay, and this is the condemnation, verse 19 and 1, right? 19, 20, 21.
17.
Mm-hmm. Huh?
Yeah.
19. Mm-hmm. And this is the condemnation, that because he said, you know, God sent not his Son to the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. And this is the condemnation.
Amen.
That light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light. So men love to put this glass up.
Yeah.
He said, don't tell me, I don't want to know. If you tell me, now I'm accountable. So don't tell me.
Oh my goodness.
Men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light. Now, doesn't this remind you of Amaziah the priest?
Yeah.
They were doing what they were doing, and don't tell me.
Don't tell me. I don't want to know.
Wow. Everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest that they are wrought in God. And that is the heart. That is the heart of the man and woman of God. Please tell me. How can I be delivered? Tell me, please. Please tell me. How can I be delivered from the propensity to unrighteousness? How? Please tell me. I want to know. I don't want to be stupid about these things. I want to know. Tell me. How can I be delivered of this glass that distorts the light? he that doeth truth, verse 21, comes to the light.
Yes.
Comes to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. Mm-hmm. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So number one, if you're in darkness, it means that there's no light. You can't know anything different because there's nothing different. Nothing out there, right? We know that that was the case sometimes, but that's not the case today.
Amen.
That's not the case today. That's not your case. Right? There's no eye. Not a possibility that you don't have an eye. To see the light, if you didn't have an eye, then what should you do? Go get somebody with an eye and say, see for me. See for me, please. What do you see? What do you see? The interesting thing about all of this is that, you know, you could put yourself in a world of darkness. You can put yourself in a world of darkness. You know? If all of your relationships and all of the places that you go and all the people that you hang out with.
Yes.
Yes, senior.
You know, you can put yourself in a world of darkness.
Yes.
You know? And even as we come to the light, you know, even as we come to Christ, give Christ our life, there are areas that we still have as darkness.
Yes.
You know? Things we don't know. You know, wisdom would be to go somewhere where they're teaching the truth of the Word of God.
Amen.
Right? Amen. Go to somebody and say, show me.
Show me.
Amen. Show me what you see.
Jesus. Jesus.
We could have an eye that's corrupted. Corrupted in some way by some things. And we need to be delivered. We need that glass removed so that we can see plainly. So that we can see clearly and plainly. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. I don't want to be in darkness, do you?
No.
I don't want to be in darkness. I want to live and I want to walk in the light and live in the light. I want to walk in the light. I want to live in the light. I want to see. I want to see. There's more. There's more. Mm-hmm. There's more. Mm-hmm. There's so much more. Mm-hmm. Well, how? How do we walk in the light? How do we walk in the light? The Word of God talks about our walk, doesn't it?
Yes.
The Word of God talks about our walk. Right? Mm-hmm. Ephesians 5:8, that was our text. Ephesians 5:8. Mm-hmm. For ye were sometimes darkness, now are ye light in the Lord. Walk. Scriptures tells us clearly that we've got to walk as children of light, right? In 1 John 1:7, we read earlier, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. In Isaiah 2, verse 5, even in the Old Testament, O house of Jacob, come ye, and let us walk in the light of the Lord. So we are called upon to walk in the light. And I have seven. I don't think I'm going to get to it today. I've got seven. I have to come back next week because I've got seven parts about walking in the light. Amen?
Amen.
Seven parts. Welcoming the presence of God. You can write them down. Welcoming the presence of God. Willingness to do warfare.
Yes.
Willingness to do warfare. Willingness to watch and pray. Welcoming the presence of God. willing to do warfare, willing to watch and pray, willing to witness. Willing to work. Willing worship. And as out of place as this one might seem, seems out of place. I was trying to get a W word in there. But honoring your father and your mother. The principle of honor, the honor principle, I call it. The scripture says in Proverbs 20, verse 20, I want to give you this one. The scripture says in Proverbs 20, verse 20, whosoever curseth his father or his mother, his lamp shall be put out. So if your lamp is put out, what does that mean? You don't know where you're going. That his vision would be impaired. You see that?
Yeah.
Whosoever curses. So we teach the honor principle. It's so important. Because if you think about the honor principle relates not only to your father and your mother, you know, because if you curse your father and mother, you curse the policeman. He might shoot you. Right? And if you curse the leaders that God has given you, starting with your parents were given to you by God. So I want to come back next week. I invite you to come back next week. And we want to extend how we walk in the light. How do we receive the light of God and walk in it? In those seven principles. Amen? Amen. Kind Father, we just thank you, Lord God, for your word. Thank you for the power of your word, Lord God. To instruct us, Lord God, into the ways of righteousness. We receive the word of exhortation today, O God. We receive it, Lord God, that we are to walk in the light as you are in the light. We take off the blinders, Lord God, that we may see you clearly even as you are. Shine your light into our hearts, O God. Deliver us from the bondage of the past and set us on the path, Lord God, that leads to salvation, healing, and deliverance. Each one, Lord God, we call upon your name, O God. You are our God. You are our deliverer. You are our Savior. And you are our healer. We thank you. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.